change and time goes by. I wonder why the sky is blue and life is forever. Seasons go by and so do I. Travel through time, senses go blind. This is the world and feels so surreal.
Welcome to The Conservative Liberal. We're in week 34, 2008. If you've heard the show before, you know that I like to do things by the week. And, you know, we discuss different various things, the news of the day, of the week, what's going on with me and you. And, well, it's hard to talk to you about you when you're not calling me, so how do I know what's really going on with you? But, let's see, I was listening to Pastor Paul. He's one of the... one of my favorite pastors I like listening to. He's a great guy, Pastor Paul Shepherd. You know, I don't agree with everything anybody says, but, you know, every time they come up with something interesting, I like to, you know, keep talking about it, because that's what we got to do in the world. We got to keep talking about the good and the positive. There's so much negative out there, and, you know, every time you turn on the TV, you're hearing something bad and evil and everything else, and it's just, you know, it's kind of a downer. So, you know, they actually did a skit on Saturday Night Live a long time ago called Debbie Downer. I mean, it's just, you know, it's like a crystallization of you know, people's attitude, and they hear a bunch of negative, bad things. They're always, you know, tend to feel bad about themselves. Although, if sometimes when yourself, you're feeling bad, and you turn on something, and it's something that's happened a lot worse to somebody else, I don't know, for me, sometimes it just makes me feel better. Now, I don't know if I'm alone in that, but... I don't know. It's just maybe one of those quirky things that maybe I have, but I don't know. Maybe there are a lot of people are out there. They just won't admit to it. But as I was saying about what Pastor Paul was talking about, he was talking about words, and he was talking about the use of words, and when you know, talking about gossip in sort of a way where, you know, you talk to somebody, you say something you didn't really mean, or you're actually talking to somebody, and you're talking about somebody else, and you say it and you don't really mean it. You know, I think that... what happens there is, it's like you're thinking about, well, you know, it's not always easy to sometimes, you know, if you're caught up in the moment of a thought or of what's going on in a situation, you know, we're human beings and sometimes we say the wrong things. Now, he was talking about forgiveness and you know, going, you know, you get with the people that you've talked about, or, you know, you say, hey, look, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to say this, you know, but then, you know, it's kind of like, well, what I think is, you know, you can apologize and you can say, well, it's unforgivable. But, you know, on the other hand, once something is said, it's said. Now, it's up to the person that you've offended in some way to either forgive and move on, or, you know, and let's see, what does that exactly mean when you forgive and move on? Does it mean that that person is now, you know, is now back in your life and you can deal with them? Or you've decided, well, you know, I forgive them and they're not in my life anymore, but I'm moving on because I don't want to keep harnessing any kind of bad feeling about that particular person. Well, the thing about it is this. I think that makes sense in a lot of ways because, you know, how many chances are you going to give a particular person to, you know, mess with your head or screw you over or whatever? I mean, there's got to be limits. Now, is it the first time somebody did something bad and you say, no, I don't know. See, I think it's I don't know, I don't want to be like, you know, biased for men and women. I think what it is different for men and women. I think, you know, women are, you know, emotional, men are logical in a lot of ways. I think when it comes to men and, you know, you're saying, well, oh, he's talking, you know, stuff about me and that's not right. And, you know, men, we kind of confront things. We deal with it. And we either move on and you know, allow them to continue to be in our lives, depending on, you know, the friendship that we had or the relationship. And then, or, you know, it's like, well, with men, I think it's a money thing. I think that if something happens with money, that is just, it's beyond words. I don't know what it is. It's like we're very territorial over our things, and I think, you know, men can battle over money, and some of those types of things are unforgivable. I don't know. I think for some reason, maybe that's just that logical thing, and we're just cut and dry with that as a matter of fact about those kind of things. Well, with women, they're emotional, and and they, you know, let Steve things fester, and you know things build up, and you know, they're not, it's not cut and dry. They just, you know, they decide, well, I'm just not going to, you know, deal with that person because I'm just getting tired of being messed with over and over and over again. I've run out of chances for that, to give that chances to that person. And I, you know, I think it's kind of like a destiny thing, you know. It's just, it's what it's meant to be, you know. Like in a movie I just saw the other day, accidents, there are no accidents. I mean, it's just, you know, things happen for a reason. Things people say happen for a reason. Well, anyways, we're going to talk about a few of the pressing issues of this week. We'll get into Obama's sidekick, Mr. Joe Biden. Let's see, we're going to talk about the airplane crash, a little small plane, experimental crash in Las Vegas. We're going to also talk about my flying experience. I just did a little traveling, and I don't do a lot of traveling. I don't really care for it, but I had to, you know, take care of some business. And we're going to talk a little bit about my experience in the traveling world. And then I'm going to do a little thing where I discuss a couple of movies that I've seen. And then I'll finish off with, in the last expert, let me get back to that. We play excerpts of different talk show guys, you know, some guys on the left, some guys on the right. I mostly play guys on the right because I find that they're more intelligent for some reason, or they strike a chord in me where they think they're more real, but I find ways of ripping them. I rip everybody. That's what this show's about. It's a show about ripping the people who just... are just, no matter if they're right or left, they're just one way. I believe that's why I call myself the conservative liberal, is because I see things down the middle, and I think most Americans do. All right, so here we're gonna go to our first excerpt, and here we go.
Welcome back, by the way, from pneumonia. But did you come back too soon? This is a major, major slip to a trained eye like mine. Highly trained broadcast specialist as well as political analyst, you have just admitted that you guys lost Florida. And the whole reason for your existence the last 8 years is to make up for the fact that we stole it from you. And then this exchange continued on.
Isn't he handing out permission slips to vote against Barack? Inexperience is my favorite, because you could have all kinds of problems with Barack Obama, ethnically, politically, culturally, class. I don't know what the adjective is for class, but classily. And you could have every problem in the world with Mrs. Obama, but you can hide it all under, not hide it all, you can present it all under one word. You know, I got nothing against him. He's a bright young man with a quality education, interesting new ideas, but he's not quite ready yet. And that's a fair critique, which covers all your reasons for opposing him.
So this is an absurd assertion about Obama's experience. Actually, it's rooted in racism. It's rooted in racism. He's such a poor victim. Everybody ganging up on poor Barry. Who, by the way, if you're just joining us, his half-brother found today, long-lost brother, a half-brother found in Kenya in a remote shack. A hut, actually, 6 by 9 foot hut. In a shanty town outside some little burg in Kenya. He very proud to be hidden and not known. Vanity Fair Italy found the guy somehow. And I would think, you know, if you end up at a hut, at a shack, at a shanty, in the outskirts of some unheard of place in Kenya, you've got to be going there to get there. This is not the kind of place you're going to just accidentally stumble into. It's kind of like San Angelo, Texas. You've got to be going there to get there.
The thing about you, Rush, is you're always going after the guy in what I believe is the wrong angle. I mean, when you're bringing up his stepbrother, thinking, oh God, what kind of guy is this that would let his family, you know, live in these kind of conditions? Well, are we as human beings, are we supposed to take care of every single buddy that we know? I mean, how can we do that? I mean, you know, I mean, people have got to help themselves. You feed a man, you give him a piece of fish, and then he's good for maybe for the night. You teach him how to fish, and he lives and he feeds himself for life. Now, you know, Obama's a busy guy. You know, there's a lot going on, you know, trying to win the presidency and being a senator and his family, his immediate family. And, you know, he can't be everywhere doing everything for everybody. But that's not the angle I would take going up against Obama. I mean, I'm not saying I'm either for him or against him. You know, we just got word that he's now picked Joe Biden as his VP. And I think that's an interesting choice because we know that Biden's a very intelligent guy. But we don't really know exactly where he draws a line. Is he a real lefty or is he kind of in the middle? And then it leads me to believe that Obama picked a guy like this because he himself lacks a little bit of confidence and he needs somebody to back him up and has somebody that can, you know, give him, you know, the confidence that, or maybe give him some advice or things that he thinks he needs an older experienced guy. So if we need an older experienced guy, why don't we just get McCain? That's, you know, I don't know. It's just there's something wrong with the whole picture, in my opinion. But where I would go after Obama is in the way he speaks to me. I mean, I'm not saying that, you know, maybe everybody out there, they interpret things differently, but the way he speaks to me as if he's a preacher. I don't want to be preached to. I like pastors, rabbis, preachers. Don't get me wrong, I'm very religious in that way. But when I want to go to temple or I want to go to church, then I want to be preached to. But as somebody who's going to be running our country, and be the leader of the free world, I don't want a preacher. And that's the way he comes across. If he would change that a little bit, I might lean a little bit in a different direction. But I don't want to be preached to, and that's where you got to go after him, Rush. You got to play these excerpts of him preaching. You got to go after him doing those kinds of things and saying those kinds of things, and the way he says it, his tone, it's almost offensive. It's like he talks down to me, and I don't like that. I don't want anybody talking down to me. So, look, we don't have a perfect choice out there, but right now I'm still leaning McCain, even though with the Joe Biden selection. Let's go to the next excerpt. I think we have enough of that one. Here we go.
All right, so he asks him how he felt when he first got his USA uniform, and Kobe says it was great. Then the nothing but crap reporter Chris Collingsworth in clip two gets a little testy.
Where does the patriotism come from inside of you? Historically, what is
it? Well, you know, it's just our country is, we believe, is the greatest country in the world. And it's given us so many great opportunities. And it's just a sense of pride that you have. As you say, you know what? Our country's the best.
Now, what you're about to hear from NBC reporter Chris Collingsworth should make you break every General Electric light bulb in your house and never buy General Electric again. Listen to this in clip three.
Is that a cool thing to say in this day and age, that you love your country and that you're fighting for the red, white, and blue? And it seems like sort of a day gone by.
No, that's a cool
but
thing
let's move
to say.
What? It seems like a day gone by to you, you piece of worthless garbage, you? You should be fired. You should be thrown out by General Electric, or I'll start a boycott of every General Electric product in this country. You they let on the air, and me they attack for being patriotic? You worthless garbage, you. NBC reporter Chris Collingsworth says to Kobe Bryant, listen to this sarcastic, sneering Hollywood reporter. Listen.
Is that a cool thing to say in this day and age, that you love your country and that you're fighting for the red, white, and blue? And it seems like sort of a day gone by.
No, it's a cool thing for me to say. You know, I feel great about it. And I'm not ashamed to say it. This is a tremendous honor.
You got it, Michael. Michael, you captured the liberal, diseased left in one little crystallization. When you listen to this man speak, and you can say, can anybody on the left listen to that and really agree with that? Man, oh man, we got troubles in this country. You are absolutely correct when you can play an excerpt like that. And thank God for you, Kobe, to stick by your guns and say how much you love your country. We don't say it enough. We need to get rid of that dreck like that. Michael, I'm so glad you caught that, because it's just, we need more lefties and liberals to say that they love their country. It's okay to be on the left, it's okay to be liberal. I'm a little bit liberal with certain issues, but I certainly love my country, and we need more people to speak up against this kind of stuff. All right, let's go on to the next one.
Me holding some type of symposium where she instructs us as to how the surge really is not working and how George Bush is still a war criminal.
The policies of my country are responsible for killing tens of thousands of innocent people.
And all I can say is she's going to have this big rally hearkening back to 1968. It's going to be a 1968 revisited. Let's bring back the spirit. Let's bring back the energy of 68, the glory days of the left. Well, let's bring it back. This is my only hope. I hope that the people in attendance have showered since 1968. I'm just hoping that bathing is on the agenda at the Democratic Convention. Because I'm telling you something, this is a gnarly group out there. The ones behind the barricades, our own version of the protest pens, they have them in China, but the Democrats actually have them in Denver because they don't want the cameras showing the real bedrock of the Democratic Party today, the MoveOn.org, Cindy Sheehan, Peace Through Weakness contingent.
I'm just so grateful that the universe chose me to be the spark.
Oh, my God. I thought I had forgotten about her until I see that she's going to be there. Oh, wait, will she be performing with Kanye West?
What I'd like to know there, Laura, is why you go after the small fish. I mean, you can say she's a lefty, freaky, liberal, you know, America-hating lady, you know, but you know, you gotta understand, she's got a little, you know, brain damage. She lost her son in a war that she doesn't believe in, and she decided to do something about it. And you know what? There may be some things that she has to say that may have merit behind them. You know, I mean, not everybody's perfect, but I can tell you this: there's a lot of people on the right, the religious right. You know, you can go after them and say that, you know, what they're trying to do and take people's freedoms away from them, and you know, they're anti abortion issues and all kinds of things that are going on. I mean, you can pick and choose anybody you can go after. It's very easy out there. There's a ton of people to go after out there. But I guess when you're on the right, Laura, you just go after, you know, the easy pickings. But there's just no substance there. Anyways, let's move on here to another excerpt. Here we go.
Mark Rudd, the head of SDS, yeah. Students for a Democratic Society, and myself. And then it said the Jews have caused problems for blacks, and we know what happened in Nazi Germany, and it should happen again.
And who did this? Who was behind this?
This was the FBI.
They did this.
Yes, and I got it in my files on the Freedom of Information Act, and they had to be approved. It was New York office, and it was approved by the FBI in Washington. J. Edgar Hoover's two top aides, yeah. And their approval of it said, be sure that the pub printing and distribution of this is not connected to the agency, so that, you know, if some black militant found one of these and killed one of us, the FBI could say that because that's what the letter of permission said in distributing this facetious leaflet, so they could say, oh, well, we were just being facetious.
Yeah, it's amazing, and you got to wonder if there's some other kind of version of COINTELPRO now that's kind of following us and not looking too kindly among protesters. We saw what happened at the Republican convention in New York City just about 4 years ago, right?
Oh, well, yeah, and so, you know, and it's open. You know, it's open now. It's not even that covert. Patriot Act was passed by, it's like Nazi Germany where everything that Hitler did, there had been a law passed.
I've got to take a quick break here for one more moment. If we can hold you guys, I'd love to open up our phones and just talk to you a little bit more. There's a great DVD about all this. It's it's historical in context, but it's very applicable to what's happening today, especially against the backdrop of yet another uncalled for war. We'll come back with Bobby Seale and Paul Krasner.
You see what I'm saying when you listen to the, I don't know if, maybe you don't see what I'm saying, but when you listen to guys like this, as Alan Combs on the left, and you listen to these callers that he has calling in, and you know, it's just all about how much do we not like our country? What bad can we say about our government? You know, government agencies like the FBI and things like this. I mean, it's just all negative. There's nothing that says that they love this country. It's so sad to me. It just breaks my heart, and it makes me angry at the same time. You know, they call this, he ends his little interview with this guy calling in or whatever, talking about an uncalled for war. Does he really know what? He doesn't know anything. He's not a general. He doesn't understand the workings of the world like our top officials do. How dare him say this is an uncalled for war? We're killing people who hate us and want us dead. And I think that's a good thing. That's a good war. If you talk to the people who live in this country, they're going to say, thank God we're there helping them rebuild this country. Not so much that we want them to be, believe and have our own constitution. They're going to have their own rules of law. We just want them to align themselves with countries like Egypt, some countries like Saudi Arabia. You know, not this extremism that's going to tear this world apart and end the world. Possibly. So to say that these kinds of things, that it's an uncalled for war, oh, that irks me. Okay, anyways, going on to our final excerpt here, a little bit of religious here, and let's see if there's any good advice that we can get. Here we go.
It's not something where it'll be a quick turn. There's years in the process of getting something published and doing it right. So there's two different things going on here. One, I want to encourage your creativity and tell you that you can't start another project. You can write it down, take notes, say, oh, I've got this other idea for another book, and you write those down, you put them in your journal, but you've got to finish the one that's in front of you. And I find that people that get blocked creatively have a combination of a creative nature and a perfectionist nature. So you get caught in places that you're trying to polish too much. So I find that it can be better if you press through it and leave that page imperfect, moving on throughout the story, and then going back and refining it, then trying to refine it in the process of doing.
I do tend to be perfectionistic.
Yeah, and that'll slow you down, and it'll slow down the creative process. Mm-hmm. Get the outline down on paper, and then write it. Mm-hmm. Do those things. It's so easy to be distracted as a creative person. It's so easy to have something pull you in a different path. But have you ever, think of it this way, it's probably easier for you to edit someone else's paper.
Not good advice. Sorry, don't think it's good advice. I would tell somebody who is of the creative nature, like myself, spread yourself as thin as you want. I mean, you don't know what these ideas, they when they come at you, you got to go with them. You could be working on something, but if you get distracted, which I don't even think it's distracted because I don't believe that there are accents. I believe that something comes in your head and you take that direction. You go to that direction. You follow your heart. You follow your mind. And you say, you know what? I'm going to work on that for a while. I'll come back to this later. It's okay. It's okay to have a million projects. An infinitesimal. I don't know. I don't know if that's a word. But, keep yourself busy. Keep yourself active. Keep yourself involved. That's where the juices come from. If you just say, well, you know what? I'm going to stay on the same project, and even though I don't like where it's going right now, I'll just skip that part. You know what? That messes up, in my opinion, and it's all an opinion, folks. Everybody's got an opinion, you know. If you keep going with that, that changes the destiny of that project. If you go to the next door and you work on that project that was that new idea, let's say, and you go in there and you say, well, wait a minute, I like where this is going. That might be better than your original project, number one. Number two, it might help with the creativity so you could go back for that on the original project and make that better so it has a better result in the end. So you folks, you got to be careful out there who you listen to and who you get advice from. You can take it, you can heed it, you can do whatever you think is good for you. But remember, folks, you are the one that makes that final choice of what's good for you. All right, we're going to do a little recap here. I think I went over the Obama thing and the Joe Biden thing as much as I wanted to cover today. I want to talk a little bit about my flying experience and the traveling. Let's see what happened was, just real quick. You know, I'm sure there's a lot of people out there that fly, and I haven't flown in a while. I don't know. I mean, I don't think I've flown since pre-9/11, so, I mean, it's a whole new ball game. All I can say is, didn't like taking off my shoes, didn't like taking off my belt, didn't like having to throw away food, didn't like any of that stuff. And thanks to our nemesis, our terrorists, and I hope we kill every single one of them, this is the way we have to approach things? I don't know. I want to know how El Al is doing from Israel, the Israel airline. I want to know how what their approach is. I want to know if they're taking shoes off and throwing away people's food. I don't think so. There's got to be a better way, folks, and I think we need to learn from them. So I wasn't happy with that part of the experience. Other than that, I marvel at the technology to be able to get on a jet airliner and fly through space and go from one land to another. Unbelievable. It's a wonderful, miraculous thing. Let's see here. Saw a couple of movies. One of the movies that's standing out in my mind right now is a movie called Talk to Me with Don Cheadle, a couple other, mentionables. Wonderful movie. Takes place in the late 60s about a radio talk show radio guy named Petey Green. Wasn't really too familiar with that guy. I mean, maybe a little bit before my time, but fascinating character, an awesome character. And we need to, folks, we need to have more movies like that. They're inspirational. They're factual. Yet they're the music and everything was just incredible. I highly recommend it. And then saw a little animation. I like a little animation once in a while. Kung Fu Panda. Thought that was pretty enlightening. I like the line. The line that stands out to me, and I probably already used it in this show, was, there are no accidents. Pretty profound. I know that, you know, sometimes things happen. But are they meant to happen? So it makes us think of different things. So I don't know. I kind of thinking that maybe it's true. You know, maybe it's, I'm not sure because it's just one of those things where it's my destiny not to be sure about that particular line. I don't know. Is it a line or is it a proverb? What is it? Anyways, thank you for joining us today. Hope we covered some things that you were interested in, you found fascinating. If not, then hopefully tune in next time and we'll have more for you. God bless all of you and hope to see you, hear all your thoughts. Well, I don't want to hear all your thoughts. No, I want you to hear some of my thoughts. I don't even want you to hear all my thoughts. I mean, that's, you know, when you think about it, you don't really want to hear everybody's thoughts. You just want to hear, you know, kind of, you know, stick with the current events, really what's happening. You don't want to hear delving too much about, you know, the things that are going on in my life, unless they're experiences that might have relevance to yours. Well, anyways, call in anytime you want. Send me an email. Looking forward to, you know, doing a little, one-on-one with somebody. And who knows, maybe you can get a little group and you can try to gang up on me. I don't care. I'm ready for anything. Anyways, God bless and see ya.
Seasons go by and so do I. Travel through time, senses go flying.